And good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome, dear listeners, here on this Good Friday session. Wherever you find yourselves, I hope you guys are enjoying the first day in the next 4 days of this public holiday. And I also hope that, you know, in terms of wherever you find yourself, is that you're safe. You're actually, you know, in the hands of good company for, you know, for the better part. Let's say for the better part. But nonetheless, this is your Good Friday business and economic zone here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Now, in our discussions that we've had for the past 2 days, we've looked at the sovereign wealth fund. I almost said the strategic wealth fund, but we've looked at the sovereign wealth fund. We've covered the aspects of the sovereign wealth fund, the concerns it generates. Nonetheless, I still believe it's a good move we did already. My question always will unfortunately go unanswered for the amount of time, immemorial, meaning for eternity, in terms of why are we only doing this now? You know, why was it not done like perhaps looked at 10 years back or 20 years back even? But it's a good move nonetheless. The next questions that we will just probably have to look at is, will this be more the stabilization element, or will it be the, you know, will it be just a pure kitty, meaning a pure savings account? There's also, obviously, also the notion of the attention, which comes along with the concerns that sovereign wealth funds pose. These concerns usually are all about, you know, various, let's call it like hedge fund managers or trust fund, or those international fund managers wish to access these instruments known as sovereign wealth funds. The sovereign wealth funds also can play a more strategic role, as mentioned, in terms of either diversifying its income, meaning trying to earn an income on its on its potential, whether it be in an industry or a strategic industry or just a cash cow industry, whichever one you wish to choose. That had been the picture with the Qatari one that I highlighted. The Norwegian one also does the same. The Norwegian one is more the savings kitty element, but the Qatari one has that aspect of being the, the stabilization, meaning trying to diversify or spreading its earnings potential. Then you get the ones that actually don't have, you know, very, very few information on, like, for example, the Chinese ones. There's actually a handful of Chinese ones. There's the China-Africa Development Fund. Then you've got the one that is the safe investment company, as well as also the second biggest one in the world being the China Investment Corporation. Now, that's three that I've mentioned. There can be potentially more from China's side. But those three that I mentioned form part of the world's biggest sovereign wealth funds. The United States themselves also feature in this, for example, like the New Mexico State Investment Council. Another example being that of the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund. I was right, you can call it a trust fund as well. The North Dakota Legacy Fund, as well as also the Alabama Trust Fund. And the list goes on. Nigeria also has two on this list, alongside Angola with one. So there are also African examples of the sovereign wealth funds. But I'm going to move away from our sovereign wealth fund discussion for tonight, because that's done and dusted, man. We've dusted out that carpet last night. We ended on it technically. But heading into our discussion going forward. And this now takes a more international approach. This international approach, guys, links in to where we had the aspect of the of this Ukraine crisis, this Ukraine conflict. Now, here's an interesting discussion I had. Just now, just today. I actually came from a wonderful lunch session, but just now, earlier today. If we had to look at the concerns that we, us, you, me, Namibians, us, about the fuel price, the constant fuel price increases, there's one major thing that has been floating in our faces the whole time, but has not actually drawn our attention with regards to, you know, the reasons why the fuel price has, you know, exponentially increased over the past 6-7 months, etc., etc., even with now the latest one, which has, you know, seen much of the consternation with regards to the percentage that it, or the actual value that it represents in terms of that increase. What I mean by that is, if we had to look at the largest crude oil producers in the world, yeah, and some, if you just had to look at the geopolitical thing, the whole geopolitical mess that comes out of this, there's one country that was actually, you know, one of the biggest suppliers. And one of them that had unfortunately been sort of like struck way before Russia had been struck, even with its sanctions, this had been the country known as Venezuela. Now, Venezuela itself had been painted and tainted in this scene, in this picture, in terms of being like some sort of bad guy by Western propaganda. I'll say Western media for that matter. Or Western prop. Yeah, well, I say Western media. Because of Nicolas Maduro. Before him, it was Hugo Chavez. But it was actually because of Chavez handing over power to Maduro. Maduro ultimately winning in elections, that some opposition Venezuelans had labeled as some form of, you know, there was some form of, if I can use the safest word in terms of like that, the elections in Venezuela at that stage were tampered with, which then saw the international community jumping on the back in support of this opposition Venezuelan. I don't know why I want to keep saying Chilean, because there's no Chilean involved. But in that regard, Venezuela, guys, has been one of the largest, and I say one of the countries that has the largest deposits or crude oil reserves. Venezuela. I'm looking at a graph, or a little graphic that just indicates here production, meaning, you know, largest producers of oil. Obviously, for some reason, I don't know why the United States is at the top, because the United States, in all intended purposes, or in its, you know, scope of things, they're using, what everyone knows is that they're using the fracking system to obtain their oil. They're making use of the fracking system. The other guys don't much employ the system. Now, Venezuela is on this list at number 12 out of the top 10, because even Mexico is oil. I did not know that. But even Mexico is oil. Even Norway itself has oil. But in that same regard, guys, Venezuela experienced the same thing that Russia is now experiencing, putting sanctions on the sale of Russian oil sales. And I'm not here to discuss, you know, any of that positivity or whatever. It's just looking at the truly dumb move. The truly dumb moves is isolating the guys that produce the biggest oil, that has the largest oil deposits or reserves thereof, but it's actually causing us here in Namibia, at the opposite end of the spectrum, or at the opposite end of the world, far, far away of any of these conflicts, us, an issue. Now, in between, I say in between, and this is just drawing also another holistic picture to our scenario, because in an economic sense, you can't just pinpoint on one thing. What I've now seen here is that in terms of you've got many entry points, like I've mentioned before, many entry points into an economics discussion, and most of it comes from policy or even just from political direction. For example, the existence of NATO. Now, here's the thing, guys. This is going to be the very, very sad picture for us as in Namibia. The Sovereign Wealth Fund, in terms of where most of its revenue might come from, or most of its savings might come from, in terms of the theory, in terms of theory of how an SWF is based on, is that it is linked to one or other commodity that our country produces in surplus, meaning we've got extra to sell. That extra sales is then stored away in terms of like savings deposit in this SWF, which sounds good on paper. But in reality, where do we look at? Because, yeah, we can have various strategies open to us, because usually a sovereign wealth fund is either administered by the central bank, which I hope is the scenario here with us, the Velvicha sovereign wealth fund. But I'm looking at the other picture in terms of, you know, if we can perhaps try and boost it with one of the various commodities that we have here in Namibia, linking it in with that commodity. This could either be through the fish quotas. This could either be through the diamond sales. This could either be through any other commodity that we produce as a country. Any other. It can't be through the oil, because the oil has not been invested in properly yet. You know, the infrastructure, the extractive technology needed to get us onto the production, you know, phase, or into the production playing field. We're not there yet. That's a good 10 years from now. The green hydrogen, sure, would also be wonderful to link that SWF in with, because the way things are looking for the rest of this year, guys, this conflict is not going to end tomorrow, nor next week, nor next month. Never. This conflict is going to look like a drawn out scenario. And I say drawn out because it's going to look like it's going to be a pretty long endeavor. None of the NATO parties at the EU level or wherever are talking about peace with Russia. They're just pledging more money, more guns, more...
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, getting back quickly from that ad, just putting in context, just contextualizing. The discussion point is that the fear is so great, guys. I'm sitting here with a genuine fear, because Sun Tzu, the war strategist, Chinese war strategist, who still believed to be mythic in terms of his actual existence, but you know the works do exist, the writings that he left behind.
It's not because you have to look at the human.
If any of you have read The Art of War, in the beginning of that book, it says,
you've got to look at the economic open conflict,
the socioeconomic implications it has on the citizenry, meaning the people of a country. Now, here in Namibia, which is way, 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 way south of everywhere else from that conflict in Ukraine, we are feeling the impacts. Guys, every international platform that I open up to read a little bit of online news or international news has to do with either seeing Zelensky's face or Putin's face, or it's about, you know, the impacts on the African dependence on Ukrainian and Russian wheat or Ukrainian and Russian sunflower oil, because the British now, some of the British retail stores, you know, similar to like our ShopRite Checkers or our Pick and Pay or our Spar, for example, for those of you who've gone to Britain, in the UK, they've got something, a chain or business, a company by the name of Tesco's. Tesco's has now issued out a notice to their shops to limit people from buying canola oil. Do you guys know what canola oil is? Canola oil is your cooking oil. Cooking oil, guys. And knowing that most of the cooking oil that we see on our shelves, which is either it's canola or it's sunflower seed oil, you just have to look at the label, then you see either sunflower seed or a sunflower on it, or you see the word canola, which is a different seed. Don't ask me how I know this, guys. I, you know, had to talk to a sister who, you know, researched this discussion points. Kudo points to her. But nonetheless, those two components, I'll call them components, because they form the most important commodity in modern-day human society, the cooking oil. I'm not talking about paraffin or spirits, you know, to have like a light source in your house or in your shack or wherever you are. I'm talking about cooking oil. If someone limits you, if a store tells you you can only buy a 350 ml or 500 ml or 750 ml, but only take one bottle, that means there's an issue in the supply chain, guys. That means there's an issue in the supply. And I'm not... I started with Venezuela in terms of, you know, the oil price or the petrol price discussion point, but that's one fact, that's one entry point I came in with. You see, here's the thing. We as Namibians, unfortunately, guys, we face pretty dark days in terms of, you know, how we're going to steer in this international quagmire. I say a quagmire because it is a quagmire. It's full of mud. It's full of dangerous stones and rocks. It's flooded in some parts. And the only vehicle we have to traverse this environment is a hatchback with 2x2, with, you know, that it can only... It pulls with its front two wheels. Let me be honest. We've got a GTI Golf. Let me be honest. We've got a GTI Golf. And we now need to be a 4x4, a fully functional, four-wheel drive with diff lock and all those other fancy stuff to traverse such an environment. But we've only got a GTI. I know some of you might think, Dwight, you're still being luxurious with a GTI. Why don't you say a City Golf? Well, I can't go that far down because a City Golf is outdated technology, so we have to stay current. We only have a hatchback, and the hatchback's name is a GTI Golf. It's a Virpa. We can make noise, we can bark, and we can have opinions, but do we actually get down and graft and protect ourselves? Now, the lucky thing in our sense, in this socioeconomic storm of the globalized world, is our one-to-one peg. Our one-to-one peg to the South African rand. Because, guys, if we were detached, the NAM dollar was just floating out there, nobody would want us. Nobody would want to look at us. We could, you know, the potential works in twos, you know, it's a two-way street, or in two scenarios. You can either have very good potential, meaning positivity, a positive response in terms of uptake and people want to trade with you, or you can have the total opposite. No one wants to trade with you. No one wants to do business with you. No matter what resources you have, natural resources. Nobody. Now, I know internationally our fish is sold internationally. Our beef is sold internationally. Our diamonds, internationally. Stuff like our uranium and gold, unfortunately, I just don't know how we'd be able to benefit from it. Because at least you see in editorials, meaning in newspaper articles and printed media, you do see when the total value of, for example, like diamond sales is declared or diamond production, you see the total amount of meat exported per financial year or financial cycle. At least you know that. I just don't know about the fish one. Just haven't checked on up on that. But at least you can see there's a trail. There are some resources with regards to those industries. But everything else looks like a vacuum. I say it looks like a vacuum because, well, we have to see what happens with the green scheme situation. Even though some business owners or business people from the north have indicated that they want to have first buy in into, you know, this deadline of here in June with regards to the green schemes in terms of when international organizations or investors get invited to buy into that part. We'll have to see first, but still. I say still because there's no clear strategy. There's no strategy that says, all right, we'll step in and we'll alleviate. All right, we'll step in and we'll do this. There's nothing as clear as daylight to provide that assurity. I use the term assurity because at this time in Namibia's economic life or lifespan or life cycle, it's assurances that you need. Now, so far, our central bank governor is providing those things. He's playing his game. He's playing the game he knows. And it's not a game, technically. He's more in a very tough match where everything is against Namibia. Fluctuating international crude oil prices, fluctuating supply chain prices in between. Now remember, these are things that happen outside of his zone of influence. That's now between, the guy that, the farmer that produces, that harvests that canola seed, to the manufacturer that has to press and squash and mash that canola seed into oil. And where it gets bottled and packaged, to where it gets shipped off to a warehouse somewhere in South Africa, because the warehouse is not in Namibia. It doesn't stop in Namibia yet. And from South Africa, it has to come to us over the border. And somewhere in between, we are still charging the import taxes. So, if a retailer here in Namibia will start telling you, madam, sir, you can only buy one 750 ml of canola oil, canola cooking oil, or one 750 ml of sunflower seed oil, or 1 liter. I think it comes in a 1 liter. No, it doesn't come in 1 liter. I think it's 2 liters. There's a 2 liter variant, yeah. And they tell you you are only limited to one, because if they do it in England, What do you expect will be the trickle down effect be across the world? It can happen. It could hit us. I gave you the example back on Tuesday, on Wednesday, of the 2008-2009 financial crash that occurred in the US. People in South Africa were losing their houses and their cars per week, per day. The South Africans were writing horror stories. And I was still on university full time at that stage. I was sitting with fear. I was going like, oh my goodness, What's going to happen? Is it going to come to Namibia? Is it not? Luckily, we had a stimulus mechanisms at in play at that stage. For sure, definitely. There, our government stepped up and they said, okay, stimulate the economy. Keep it afloat. Make it happen. We don't want those reverberations coming from South Africa. But currently, this is a different scenario. This is a different Namibia in 2022. We're not in 2008, 2009. We're in 2022. We just had COVID. COVID is still here. Unfortunately, I'm now jumping from canola seed oil and sunflower seed oil, guys. I'm now jumping to what's currently happening in China. This is further reverberations. Earlier today on the brand conversation, I mentioned, you know, some of the wonderful entrepreneurial spirit that I see from some of the contacts that are on my phone, and most of them are women who, you know, try to do their own little retail venture, selling clothing, garments, shoes that they import. You can see it's imported. But who's the world's factory? China. And most of China's factories are concentrated. If it's not in Shenzhen, then it's Beijing. If it's not in Beijing, then it's in Shanghai. If it's not Shanghai, it's in that other province. What's that province name? Where they also it's not Guangzhou. Where they also have the major cluster of factories situated in. And Shanghai, just at the beginning of this week, had to stop all factory operations, guys. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? To anyone sitting on a stock market, that's the worst news you could tell them. To anyone sitting anywhere who looks like a trader or a speculator, because I call them speculators, because that thing, that ship, would leave the port. It would be loaded, leave the port, and somewhere between its port of departure and its port of destination, or its destination port, the prices would have increased 5 times. The things are only in the container. They're not gaining any more value. They've already been produced. In effect, if you have to think about something depreciating there, the moment the thing was put together, was assembled, that's the moment it starts depreciating. It's like human life. It's like us, the human being. Because there was once a theory going like the moment you were born, you actually start dying because you age, you become older. You don't become younger. You age. Now, Shanghai, I've now moved on to our next discussion point. Shanghai was instructed by Beijing, obviously, the capital, to close down, to contain the latest coronavirus outbreak, the latest wave that China is experiencing, to contain it. Shanghai was told, close down, lock down. Here in Namibia, guys, we can't even fathom such a thing. It's one of the reasons why I asked the health minister yesterday, are we preparing in some way? Because there are people flying everywhere. Everywhere. Even during this time with Russia sanctions and Ukraine not being able to do anything for themselves, air travel has picked up. But along with this, obviously, the potential still stays big. That there might be that one customer. Not that one customer, that one tourist or traveler gets on a plane. They seemed fine. Come somewhere, stop somewhere. Stop at OR Tambo, South Africa. Bounce from there to Namibia. Although we already have our own situation here in terms of COVID-19 infections. The health minister noted it. Just yesterday. No, not yesterday, the day before, sorry. Wednesday. The observations had been, it happens in clusters. Now, this is the same thing that has happened to China. But think about China. Think about China's clusters as being a city or a neighborhood of Windhoek. No, not a neighborhood of a... Imagine Windhoek is the neighborhood of a Chinese city. Because Shanghai is big. Shanghai is also a port city. A port city meaning it has influence on that Far East Asian market. Ne? I say Far East Asian because here in the Middle East you've obviously got Israel, Syria, Lebanon, those other guys. So, you know, we can't factor them in. They're but too far away from where China and Japan and Taiwan and South Korea are based. Now, with my limited understanding in terms of, you know, distribution channel management, logistics, you name it, the works in terms of how things move in a supply chain and supply chain management. The downside is, guys, if you tell a factory to stop for a week, for 5 days, imagine sending an air bubble through a, you know, let's for example say you've got you've got water flow to somewhere. Yeah, let's say it's water to your house, like what City of Windhoek has been doing here in Windhoek. You know, closing your water if you're not up to date with your accounts. You guys have sometimes seen those reactions in terms of the moment it's opened up again. Taps make that sound, that you can hear the water coming, but the water's not coming. The tap is open, but it's just blowing out air. That's because a vacuum took place within that supply chain. That supply chain is the most basic example that I can give you because it is the most basic example there. Now, that's what happens when you tell a factory to stop. If you tell a factory, don't produce anything for 5 days, a vacuum happens. There's this air bubble just there. There's this emptiness just there. Now, it's the same thing that I had that was highlighted in a discussion I had with the economist from Simon & Storm, Mr. Theo Klein, where he explained very sweetly, very eloquently and elegantly, you know, whichever way, whichever adjective I want to use, that the reason we've seen there has been a major inflation fear all around the world since October last year or September. And also, you know, like various other factors contributing towards, what do they call it? Scarcity of certain products, especially products that have to be imported, was because at the beginning of 2020, when everything was, you know, going into lockdown everywhere, most of the, what do you call those ships? Those long-haul ships, like the ship that got stuck here in the middle of the Suez Canal in Egypt. Most of those ships, those guys, I can't say a tanker because a tanker is actually an oil ship, a crude oil transport ship. Most of those cargo ships, yeah, it's a cargo ship. Most of those cargo ships, guess where they were stuck, guys? They were stuck in China or they were stuck in the US. They couldn't go back. Those crews had to stay where they were. For a whole 2020. Those guys had to stay where they were, those ships. There was no shipping traffic taking place between China and the US. None. None. So then the fears of inflation started. When things started normalizing last year, 2021, you know, this inflation fears started occurring because everyone was looking at the American central bank going like, oh, the Federal Reserve might hike something. It might. Then, you know, 2021 ends. Then it's like 1st of Jan, 2022. Well, the Federal Reserve might, because supply chain is now, gaps are appearing here, there, in, you know, things are just, you know, red lights are just flashing everywhere. And then someone explains to you what the essence of those fears are. That, for example, all the cargo ships are sitting in one place. They were sitting in one place. Now, the stock that had to be loaded off, for example, let's say on the US side, you had empty cargo ships. They couldn't load. They couldn't load. But also, on the US side, you had cargo ships that had returned from China with cargo, but they were stuck. Now, that cargo from the guys that came from China to the US, who were stuck along with the guys that could not load, when the products that they had to deliver were offloaded, these products were technically, if they were fresh produce or in some form an agricultural product, they had already expired. They were waste. It was wastage. It was wasted. If it was a consumer durable, for example, let's say it's children's toys, they were out of season, perhaps, like Christmas and stuff like that. Now, the cargo ships that had gone from the US to China were all accumulating there because they went there to pick something up, or they had dropped off already, but they couldn't load and come back. They couldn't. Because no, there was no one on the docks in China. They were all sent home. They were locked down. So those guys, the best thing those guys had to do was stay on their ships and stay there. Now, I'm telling you a human story because the human story features into the economic story. If a human who is considered a unit of production, I am currently producing here. I'm considered a unit of production for Eagle FM. If I don't produce, there's a vacuum. If you go to work, you are producing. There is no vacuum. The machine continues to move on. But imagine now you go tell that person, no, for today, you are not working. You are not working. And guys, that's currently now happening in Shanghai. So I've given you the picture, the Sovereign Wealth Fund situation. Obviously, that was just a conclusionary roundup of last night's discussion. But the other fears besides a petrol price hike are staring at us. Because there's no way, guys. There's no way. Even though I've looked at this fancy graph just now in terms of America's output in terms of crude oil, America's lying. They could be lying. I'll say this boldly because I don't know if they're stepping in, filling in the gaps that they decided to sanction people on. Remember, it's Syria that's taken out of the picture, Libya, now Russia, Venezuela, 4 countries that you've taken out of the supply chain, that you've taken out of the oil production supply chain. In the Middle East, everything now falls on, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Bahrain, and Kuwait. The other 3 guys that I mentioned, Qatar, Bahrain, and Kuwait, they're so small. Even the UAE, they're too tiny. They're technically all pumping from the same oil reserve. Iran has sanctions on it. Iraq has only achieved their highest sales target last year, end of 2021, since 1976. Since 1976 has been their record. They've only surpassed their record. Now, in between, you've got to count all the conflicts, all the wars, and all the sanctions that were imposed on them. Because in between, they had the war with Iran, where Saddam Hussein was then, painted as the villain. No, not as the villain. No, not with Iran. He was actually applauded for whatever happened there in that war. But he was a bad guy because he committed so many war crimes. He used banned substances in warfare because there are international and UN conventions on that. You don't use poison gas in warfare. If you do, it's considered a war crime. Homeboy did that. And just 6-7 years later, at the beginning of 1990, he decides to invade Kuwait, which then brings him into another war with the US. So, all that, in all that space, Iraq is also out of the picture, but now they're back in the picture. Syria is definitely out of the picture because they have an 11-year, or it's now a 11-year civil war. Everywhere you look at, guys, potential in terms of stabilizing this ship known as international crude oil supply and, you know, the energy supply, all this could have been avoided. All this. And you now see the gap occurring because of the sanctions on Russia. Now, I'll quickly head into a short ad break, guys, and there's only technically, what, 5 minutes left on today's program? Actually, three. I'll quickly go into the short break. From that break, we'll come back, heading up to rounding out tonight's discussion. I know I see the phone line is buzzing. I have to apologize. I have to apologize, guys, but not for tonight, because I was already restricted in terms of time because of the extended discussion that took place on the home run. But for that matter, let's quickly head into a short break and then come back after that.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $100 Namibian per month, including VAT for prepaid, or $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information.
Now, coming back from the quick break and just heading into like the last, what, 3-4 minutes. That's not until if the matriarch allows me to end off, you know, with that extra time. The discussion point in terms of just what the scenario looks like. And I know this is Good Friday, but I know we were supposed to sound, you know, all positive and, you know, just in a, that long Easter holiday spirit sense. Well, I know I'm slightly, you know, motivated, but the discussion, guys, in terms of the point, is that this year looks pretty bleak. It looks very bleak. I say this because, well, here's the thing, guys. It's not going to get better for this year. It's not. I actually had a lot of hope. I actually made, for the first time in a long while, and I'm saying this with a straight face, I know you can't see my face, but I actually made a New Year's resolution this year. Although it was selfish in that regard, because it's only about me, obviously, but I actually had hope for this year. Truly, some hope. Truly, trying to see, you know, probably our government could get some breathing space in trying to enact or execute some of their strategies and policies. But no. We've got Russia invading Ukraine. We've got NATO acting as thick-skinned as they always are, without being diplomatic, because for some reason, here in SADC, we speak of peace. We don't interfere in your country. We speak of peace. We try to talk to both parties and both sides. We set up a troika. We set up a, you know, a fact-finding mission. When people go there and they go look and they go ask both sides, hello, what's the problem? And if you can't sufficiently motivate, then we say, what's up? What's happening? Now, in that same space, guys, this does bring us to the end of this tonight's discussion. The matriarch is about to make her entrance. For some reason, she was showing me hand symbols outside. I was trying to understand and decipher them. I could not. I did not bother deciphering her hand signals from outside the door. Well, we got to make an entrance, you know. We got to make an entrance. But in that same vein, guys, at this time, at this junction, this brings me to the end of the Business Economic Zone.
I feel like you're just trying to entice people to give us our own show because, come on, we gel together. No, my dear, then we have to share the salary. No, no.
No, I did not want. I don't want to gel with you.
Dwight, no.
No, I don't want to gel.
No.
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 I'm saying no.
Ahawe.
Yeah, I know. But on that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy being in the company of the matriarch. She even has a guest here for tonight. So stay tuned. See forward to it. And
it's supposed to be a surprise. You see those things.
No, but how do you introduce the guest? You can't just come here, boof. There's the bomb. No.
No. It was supposed to be me talking the whole time.
What do terrorists do? A terrorist does this. A terrorist calls and says, hello, I left a suspicious package at your front door.
But Dwight, I'm a terrorist. We have already established that I run the show. It is what it is.
Yeah, we know. Okay, no. The guest is not supposed to speak right now. No, sir.
The guest is supposed to be like a surprise. I was supposed to talk for 30 minutes and then I bombed them with bam. So what do you think? And then a voice comes in
but
she's with someone there the whole time.
No, but then
now you have already spoken. Get out. Bye.
No, but you're not
friend.
Terrorist anymore.
No.
Okay, but let me get out. I've got somewhere to go. But on that note, stay tuned, guys. Let's see each other over the weekend and see each other on Monday. Stay tuned for the Matriarch. She's here for you.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.